This ARRO-FM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventure.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Welcome to Y Space.
And you may have noticed, or you may not have noticed, but Saturn's back in the sky.
Yay!
Which is really cool. We haven't seen Saturn for a little while. Well, we have seen it, actually, because we start really late. But when I say Saturn's back in the sky, it's back in the sky at a convenient time to look at. So you don't have to stay up.
Until morning time. Yeah.
But we actually saw Saturn on Anzac Day morning, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was very cool.
Just above the horizon. Saturn, cool. Mars, and Mercury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but that was early
this time
in the morning.
Of the year,
yeah.
We see Venus in the night sky. And around the 10th of September, Venus is actually really close to a very bright star called Spica in the western side of the country, in the western side of the sky.
Pick the whole world, really.
Everywhere. And then if you wait a little bit for another few hours, around 8:30 at night, we have Saturn. Now, Saturn will be very low on the horizon, so you'll have to wait another hour or so.
Yeah, so wait till about 10:30, then it'll be high enough to have a decent view of it. Now, the cool thing about Saturn this time around, at its convenient viewing time, is last year and the year before, the rings were quite closed up. In fact, last year, I think, was when the rings were exactly edge on. So they're very hard to see, but now the rings are opening up more, so you'll see the rings a little better, which is kind of cool, because the rings are, I guess, Saturn's most famous feature.
Mars, however, is in the morning sky, and Jupiter is in the morning sky as well. So,
unless you're
a morning person, you wake up at 5, then you won't be able to see them. Jupiter is also very, very low on the horizon, so we'll have to wait a few more months until Jupiter comes. But yeah, Saturn is pretty amazing, and I'm so excited to see it again. Now, very close to Saturn, there is a tiny little comet, but it's very, very, very faint at this time of the year. It's Comet 81P Wild 2, which has such a...
Wild 2.
Wild 2, yeah. out of all names that it could have. But still, hey, a comet next to Saturn. I mean, that's an amazing opportunity for pictures.
Yeah, Saturn has a bunch of moons. In fact, it's got 295 moons, but you can't see all of those in a telescope. But what you can see is you can see Titan. That's its brightest moon. And Titan is normally around 9 magnitude, which is bright enough to see in a not even a very powerful telescope. You'll see that pretty easily. Then the other moons, they're a bit trickier because they're a bit fainter. There's Dione, which is around 11th magnitude. Enceladus is 12th magnitude. That's the interesting one because it's an icy, well, mind you, most of them are icy, but icy with an ocean underneath. And it has big geysers that erupt out of the surface that we think actually help replenish Saturn's rings, which are kind of cool. There's Rhea, which is about magnitude 10, and Iapetus, which is around a magnitude 11 as well.
And the comet, which is about magnitude 14.
Okay.
Which is very, very dim. But what's really cool about this comet is that it's been visited by a spacecraft called Stardust.
Cool, what did it find?
So Titan and Stardust have been visited. Well, it collected dust, and then it returned...
Stardust.
Stardust, yeah. It collected Stardust, and then it returned it to Earth in 2006, which is a long, long time ago. And it's got... we have... I don't know, stardust, comet dust from it. It's pretty amazing. And now you can see it near Saturn. Well, you can see it near Saturn if you have a really, really powerful telescope at magnitude 14, unlike the moons of Saturn that are very bright.
Magnitude 14 is really dim. Like, that's really hard to see stuff at magnitude. So stuff that's spread out, like a comet or a galaxy at those magnitudes, very, very difficult to see unless you have a very powerful telescope. Stars that are magnitude 14 you can see because they are point sources, so the light's concentrated on a very small point, so they're a bit easy to see. But anything that's magnitude spread out of it, that gets larger surface area, is a bit hard to see. So probably, well, for comets, probably magnitude 12 might be getting realistic with our telescopes with a 16 inch to see. We have seen galaxies, the magnitude 13. Which is quite cool. But they're quite hard to see.
So you ask what was so interesting other than dust discovered on this comet, and there was a paper that said that we discovered evidence for the presence of liquid water.
Oh, cool. On a comet, liquid water.
It was just like very rare. Current idea is that comets don't get warm enough to hold liquid water. But what an amazing comet.
What's it called again?
Well, it's called Comet Wild, but it's pronounced Wild because of Swiss astronomer Paul Wild, who discovered it in 1978.
So there's another comet in the sky, which of course is Temple T10P Temple 2, which is hopefully getting brighter. Like all comets, it's always a bit difficult to tell, but it's probably around. We've been looking at it for the last few weeks, and it's been easy to spot. We picked up even on our sea star, which is quite cool. And that comet at the moment is pretty close to the bright star Formerhout, and we're actually near Grus in the constellation Grus. So you should be able to spot that one. It won't be, well, you'll need a telescope or a good pair of binoculars to spot it because it is still fairly dim. Hopefully it brightens up.
Comets are really interesting to see because they're really fuzzy and they're very cute. Sometimes they're green when you take pictures of them. Most of the times they're green. And it's a very interesting target to see in a telescope because it's a moving target, so it's really hard to find. And so every night you go out and you start chasing for a comet, it would have moved a little bit in the sky from where it was. So you have to be like really good at finding things.
There's normally a few comets each year that you can see. Well, a few is in a couple. Other cool stuff in the sky at the moment, actually, which we're getting sort of back into this kind of, well, into the spring sky. So we're starting to see Sculptor Galaxy, which is really cool. That's a absolutely beautiful galaxy, close to the star Denebkytus. And it's part of what we call the Sculptor group. So there's a bunch of fairly bright galaxies in that piece of the sky. So that's around this, well, near to the star Formerhout, kind of near it. So sort of around in that area where you'll find Saturn broadly, though Saturn's a lot lower than Formerhout. And of course, the comet we just talked about, 10P Temple 2. And next to that is another really, really cool object, which is a planetary nebula called Helix Nebula, which is kind of like a star, a bit like the sun. Getting near to its end of its life, and it's expanding, and its outer layers are kind of drifting off into space, and it makes this beautiful nebula. And that's where the gases from the star, as they're going off into space, they've been illuminated by the remnant of the star in the center of it. So that's got lots of radiation coming out, and that's making the gas around it quite bright, which is really, really cool. And that's Helix Nebula. That's quite a famous nebula. And the telescope, it's not actually that bright. It's quite hard to see, but it's a big surface area. It's a pretty cool object.
But this is an amazing time of the year because the Milky Way goes down around the horizon, and the bulk of the Milky Way goes down around the horizon. And so when that happens, we actually start looking for other interesting things like comets or galaxies. So from now on, it's the season for hunting really interesting objects in the sky. And so another feature of the night sky is the Grand Horse. There's a Grand Horse in there. It's to the north, and it's basically the Great Square of Pegasus. So if you're into horses or any animals like that, this is the time for you to observe the Grand Square. And also the time to see the center of the Milky Way coming down from the sky. So in the western side of the sky, we have the Milky Way Kiwi and the Fishhook of Maui or Scorpius dragging the Milky Way down from the sky. So you will see really amazing time for astrophotography. Just point the camera to the west, and you'll see the bulk of the Milky Way there. And with it, all those amazing objects that we normally look at in telescopes.
And anybody who's sort of got old astronomy magazines, which are probably all done in the northern hemisphere, you'd hear about objects like the Ring Nebula, Dumbbell Nebula. What other ones are they? Veil,
Vale,
yeah, Veil. The North American Nebula.
California Nebula,
Yeah,
Rosette Nebula.
these things. So these are very high in the sky in the northern hemisphere, but we do see some of these in the southern hemisphere as well, and towards the northern part of the sky. So this time of the year, what stands out really well is actually Dumbbell Nebula. That's very high in the sky, not very high, but it's high in the sky. It's certainly high enough that you can actually get some reasonable pictures of it. It's about 24 degrees above the horizon, sort of tops out about there, which is not too bad. And visually, you can clearly see it's a very bright planetary nebula. I think it's the brightest planetary nebula in the sky. Do you know?
No.
No, okay. I think it is. And not too far away from it, so kind of to the right and down a little bit, is the Vale Nebula, which is a really big complex of nebula. You need a reasonably good telescope to see it. I think an oxygen 3 filter helps.
Do we have one?
We do have one, yes. Ring Nebula, of course, is still in the sky. We've been looking at that actually for a while now because it's been up there for a while. That's quite a cool one as well. It's easy to see. It looks like a little smoke ring in the telescope. And so that's quite close to the star Vega, which is a bright star that you'll see slightly to the northeast or
And it's funny because
northwest, sorry.
when we went and looked through the very, very large telescope in the US, we actually saw a big ring.
Yeah, well, because it was zoomed in a lot, but it was really clear. But that was a 100-inch telescope, so massive telescope. Looked really, really good.
Our view of the Ring Nebula is a very tiny. Sometimes you can actually distinguish the donut shape of the ring.
Yeah.
A lot of the times when the seeing is really, really good, you can see the donut shape of the ring. The sky is always beautiful, and there's always something really interesting to do and to look at. And often we get asked this question, which, I mean, sure, if you're not looking at the sky, then you can totally ask this question. And the question is, haven't you gotten bored of looking up at the sky?
Never get bored looking at the sky. In fact, we still find new stuff to look at. So even when we've been doing astronomy for a long time, and you still find new stuff. Like last year, when we were looking at, in fact, very similar to this time of the year, we were looking at Parvo, the constellation Parvo, quite a bit. And that has a bright star called Peacock. And it has a pretty good galaxy that's quite close to it, which is, what is it called? NGC 6744, which is a spiral galaxy. It's quite nice. When you look at it in the telescope, you don't actually see the spiral very well. So it looks like this diffuse glow in the background, but it's cool because it's a fairly decent sized galaxy. And not far from that is a lovely globular cluster, NGC 6752. And I think that's the fourth or fifth brightest globular cluster in the sky. So it's a very impressive globular cluster. And that's quite high in the sky now, which is really cool. But actually quite close to that as well, which I was is a group of galaxies which I hadn't looked at for a while, and in fact actually forgot about them, and have been and in fact I photographed them a few years ago. There's a big sort of like a cluster of galaxies. There's sort of a group of about four or five galaxies. But you can actually see them in our 16-inch telescope quite clearly. And in Parvo there's a group of these fairly bright galaxies, which are quite good. I think their magnitude's around 10 or 11 or so.
Yeah, and it's very, very cool to look for galaxies. So that's why this time of the year, September and October, November, after sunset, as the Milky Way goes down on the horizon, you really have this opportunity to look for things that are actually very, very dim and very special. And there are many ways to learn the night sky. One of the ways is to look and draw. Literally sit down and draw what you see, and that will help you put it into your memory. Another way to learn the night sky is to sit down and take pictures of the night sky and then zoom in if you can, and then you will see all the fuzzy patches, you will see all the colors that our eyes cannot perceive, but the camera will do. And so you can have your own map made from that. And another way of learning about the night sky is to make up your own shapes. But my favorite, I think, is to take pictures of the night sky and draw. Drawing the stars is a very, very cool thing to do. And especially drawing the stars through a telescope, that's a even better activity. And I know we know someone, a friend of ours, who actually even draws the moon through the
Yeah, they're really
telescope.
cool
Really cool pictures of
pictures.
the moon.
Yeah.
Put your eye on the eyepiece and draw the stuff. But the details, and I'm saying this because one of the very first things I've ever done when I first started looking at the stars was to draw Dumbbell Nebula, which is one of those nebulae you have mentioned that
Yeah,
we
well, good view
actually
this
see.
time of year.
And so
Yeah.
I drew it, and I drew what I saw through the telescope, and then I saw pictures of what it actually looks like and photographs,
Was it the same?
and it was the same. Yeah, it was like the same shape, which
That's
is why it's
lucky.
called the Dumbbell Nebula. And I didn't really speak that good English at the time, so I had to Google, well, not Google, look it up, what a dumbbell was. And
Was that because they didn't
that's
have Google in those days?
No, we didn't have Google in those days. It was, no, we did have Google in those days. It was 2003, but very few people had Google. I had Google in 2003, to be fair. Yeah. So, but it was really interesting. So, yes, it looks like a dumbbell, and it's amazing what your brain can interpret out of all of the shapes and things that you see in the sky, because none of these shapes are something that we see on Earth every day, and yet all of these shapes are something that we
Unless
see
you go
on
to the
Earth
gym.
every day. No, like
Do
spirals.
see.
We see spirals everywhere, and we see the structures of the way plants organize themselves, and they look, they're very similar. The microscopic scale is very similar to the macroscopic scale. This big universe of ours is made of the same style patterns and same style drawings and same style architecture.
So learning the night sky, one of the easiest ways, of course, is just go outside and look at it, and you'll see patterns, familiar patterns after a while. If you go out there every night, you'll see some familiar patterns, and it doesn't really matter so much what the names are. Everybody has their own way of looking at the sky and the patterns that they recognize. Some stand out, others are a little bit harder. Some of them, when the moon's out, it's a bit tricky to see some of the patterns because the moon, especially when it's full moon, washes out some of the dimmer stars. And of course, even when it's a new moon and you've got loads and loads of stars, especially in a dark sky location, that can actually overwhelm. It can be like almost like there's too many stars to look at the patterns. But you see things that have become familiar, like the Magellanic Clouds. If you're in a dark sky location, you'll see those, and things like the Southern Cross become quite clear. And that's one of the ways to learn, is just go and look at the sky a lot.
And use your phone. Now everybody has a phone with a map on it, and we have often people coming and they just pull up their phone and they look at the night sky.
Well, one of the tricks actually with phone, because you're looking at your phone ruins your night vision. So what you got to do is either turn the brightness down as far as you can. It'll still wreck your night vision, but not as bad. Or get some red cellophane to chuck that over your phone. Or there is settings in most phones, if you can work it out, on how to make your phone basically look red, which will help you for night vision. And you can Google how to do that on different phones. I did it on my phone, but I can't remember how now.
But I'm sure there are many types of phones out there,
Yes, there is.
so everybody has their own instructions. But just looking at the night sky is a very, very amazing thing to do. And we don't seem to get enough of it. I certainly I don't. In my many years of life, I not have once not liked the night sky.
Yeah. Well, we've come to the end of another WiseSpace. So, clear skies, everyone.
Why space? Because we can.
Yeah. So, clear skies, and you'll hear from us next time.
You hear from us very soon.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari.